Where are you? The Whip Around with your hosts, Dave DiOrio.
Don't you stop me!
So to my question, you
this
did.
This is my segment!
I am actually looking at Alton Brown's ambrosia recipe.
Sean Hayes.
That is totally it. That is a slam.
In space!
Words.
I'm the baloney man for Halloween. You just can't see it.
And Dr. Phil LaPorta.
No, this guy represents death and you're going to die. Like, that should happen. It's funny you say spewage. It's space toilets.
Oh!
A weekly look at news, current events, and pop culture phenomena. Where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and nothing is censored. So it's the Whip Around.
Welcome to the Whip Around, indeed. Oh. Well said, whichever one of us did the
intro.
I'm
not putting my licked thumb on any kids.
And welcome
and
to the show.
This is your stinger for the week with Dave DiOrio. We come to you in the midst of a ferocious, filthy, nasty-ass, assy...
Swamp-assy.
Swamp-ass heat wave.
That's a lot of ass.
Just assing everybody in the world. And we hope you're keeping cool out there. You and your ass.
We feel like we're in the colon of the sun here in the Lehigh Valley.
Right? But even if the climate's got you down, have no fear. We've got some chilled, freezing even. News of the bizarre kind to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
I forgot
it's
about
actually
that.
Thematically cold. Yes, but before we get too ahead of ourselves, I remain Sean.
I'm Phil.
It's Dave.
Yeah, man.
Are you celebrating? He knew it?
You did it. You boys doing all right?
Yeah.
Staying cool?
No.
Dave, you doing all right?
Doing okay. I do not do well in this heat.
Oh, God.
No. I don't either.
This is not my climate of choice.
Unless you have a favorite soup at more than one diner, I don't think you're old enough to enjoy this heat in the least.
You got to go with ceviche.
Yeah, well, see, yeah, this is ceviche and, like, tartar weather, borscht
cold, I think.
Potato leek soup. Let's just do a whole show.
It's the soup around, ladies and gentlemen.
Get somebody on the phone who knows how to not cook. But I think without further ado, because we're moving things along here today, let's capitalize on how Dave is not pleased with his heat and use it as a transition point into something we like to call... What made Dave angry this week?
Well, here's what I want to talk about this week. I want to talk about loyalty for a minute.
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy.
I want to talk about loyalty, and I want to talk about being a man, and I want to talk about sometimes doing things the hard way is the better way to do it. Okay? I want to talk about NBA free agents.
Uh-oh.
And just the weak, cowardly bullshit that goes on with NBA free agency.
$148 million question, Dave, is who
you know,
you're talking about.
It's like these teams took a chance on your ass drafting you out of high school or out of college.
Whatever the case
and
may
you
be.
You just want to go ahead and call all your buddies together and figure out where you all want to play together. It's like, I don't know. It's like I could play this game on normal or hard, but instead I choose to play it on easy because I get to see the ending a little more quickly without so much effort, without so much trying, without so much blood, sweat, and tears. I mean, you work so hard to get the respect and admiration of this fan base, and what do? You piss it all away just to hang out with your buddies and take the easy path to a championship. Now, look, I'm not going to lie. I wanted the dude to come to Philly.
That took away one of the two questions I wanted to ask you.
Okay. We're talking about LeBron James. LeBron James.
Much more respect. You know, option B. Just stay in Cleveland. Those people... worship you.
If you're not going to make my team easy, win right. on easy
like,
mode.
It's like L.A. of all goddamn places. L.A. Could there be a more obvious choice?
In this era, no.
Golden State.
And then everyone's got to stroke Magic Johnson's, you know, Magic Johnson for bringing him there. But what did he do? What did he do? Hey, man, it's L.A. Just come here. Here's so much money. Did it take more than that?
Do you think maybe, just like you were saying with the easy mode, Dave, maybe winning with a team like LA, the trophy should be a little smaller. Like, you won on easy. Like, and it even says in the trophy, like, try the harder mode next time. It's got, like, a list of teams on it. And then if you win that, it's like, why don't you try in, like, one of the really hard teams?
Yeah, and then it's like, go to the Canadian League and play and come
right.
back this way.
Yeah.
Dave, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Do you think there's anything to be said for his frustration having to carry that team, being a part of, like, his decision to leave? I mean, is there anything to be said for
not
that frustration
out, just...
of playing on super difficult mode forever?
But it's not just him. It's not just him. It's the whole landscape, and it's not just NBA. It's, like, kind of everywhere.
I understand that. I'm just curious in the LeBron situation specifically, I mean.
Well, I mean, how many titles does he have now? Four?
Two or three with the Heat
three
and one
four.
With the Cavs.
So,
yeah.
Sports ball.
Okay, well, I mean... You climb to the motherfucking mountaintop.
Started you from know? The bottom, now we hear. Indeed. Well, this
What's
is a
so
cultural
about-
problem. Is that what you're saying, Dave? There is a sort of a culture problem, maybe even outside the NBA, but specifically within the NBA, of, all right, now I got my shot, so I'm just going to hightail it out of here. Thanks for the memories. I'm out. Is that that's what you're talking about, right? There's no esprit de corps.
Yeah, and I mean, what happened
That's
to
French
the loyalty?
For spirit
like, if
core.
You play for a team, where's the commitment to that team? Why are you always trying to chase these
personal glory,
and easy championships?
This is something, Sean, I've heard you complain about many times. What drove you away from baseball? I think it was you had said, right?
Baseball,
sports in general,
football. It was football.
That was it. It was football.
That there's no spirit of this team. There's no like. Let's do it for the city. Like, there's, you know, some players fine, but not many. In the NBA, it seems even less to where it is, you know, they're pushed to be, you know, mercenaries, and that's how it all feels. And that's what, for me, fantasy football was doing, because it even makes the fans think that way, regardless of what team they're on.
Oh, God, fantasy sports.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It, like, tears it apart, you know?
Well, let me, we're...
What made Dave angry next week?
Let me ask Dave one more quick question. I mean, you started with this, and obviously we're talking about NBA free agency. Do you see it as bad in other professional sports or non-existent or what?
It's not as bad in other sports. NBA is by far the absolute worst. But it's there in other sports. I mean, like, what happened to the hometown discount? What happened to, like, getting drafted and retiring in the same jersey? It just doesn't exist anymore, and it's annoying.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's disheartening to think, here's this guy who played, and my experience as a Yankee fan was Bernie Williams when they wouldn't extend him his contract after playing with us for so many years. It's like, I just want a one-year deal, stay with you. And they're like, no, and then he retired. Pissed me off. But he wouldn't go into free agency, and I respect the man immensely for that.
So what do you suppose is the counter argument, Dave? What do you think LeBron James would say? You know what I mean? Like,
look at my dump truck full of money.
do you think it just boils down to that? It'd be like, check the scoreboard. Is that it? It's just kind of like, hey, what do you want me to do? It's the way it's
probably.
Played. Is that convincing to you?
No. I mean, it doesn't. It's not convincing to me. I mean, it probably doesn't help the people of Cleveland who, spend money on tickets and his jersey. And
I guess that's kind of like getting the toothpaste back in the tube, though. Once you do this free agency thing, how do you... change that back.
I just think
back.
Of the kids. I think of the kids. My son loves LeBron James. You know, he's big LeBron James fan. He's got LeBron James jersey, Cavs jersey.
Do you think he'll follow him to L.A.?
Yeah, he's no.
Will he become a Lakers fan?
I mean, he wanted him to be a Sixer, obviously. But I think if he stayed a Cav, it would have been fine.
Okay.
But now I just think he just painted it. Like, it's just another incident where he's painting himself as a villain to the masses here.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're a Laker fan.
Well, sure, and just like having, if you were a Philly fan, if he had come to Philly. But I would think even you would admit, like, you're setting it up to where you're the bad guy to everybody except one team, and then maybe, I don't know, sounds perhaps,
no
dare I say it, Dave?
No one holds it against you if you just say, I'm loyal to the team that drafted me, I just want to stay here and finish my career here, like Chase Utley did. You know, he's a Dodger now, but it's because we traded him. It's not because he was like, well, you know, fuck you guys. I'm going to go live closer to home or, like, play with my buddy. It's bullshit.
This has been a sports ballerific, super spectacular episode edition of What Made Dave Angry This Week! And what a time it's been.
Oh,
we're gonna cool off, turn the thermostat down a little bit. Even though Dave's not in the room with us, it's just warm in here now, and we'll be right back. Plenty more to talk about. It's going to get, I'll say, stranger. in here now. And yeah, hold on to your hats. Hold on to your jerseys. Hold on to your loyalty, damn you. We'll be right back.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Phil.
Did you hear the latest whip around news?
No, what's going on?
Well, the whiparoundpodcast.com got traded to Instagram yesterday.
What?
Yeah, I got traded to Instagram. Wait a minute, hang on. I'm getting updates right here on my phone. Nope, they packaged that and they sent it to Facebook. I'm sorry, the whiparound is now on Facebook too, not just Instagram.
The whiparound is on Instagram and Facebook too.
Score! Hold on, wait. Another update from SportsCenter. The whiparound has just been traded to Twitter.
I don't understand this. Where was the whiparound originally? Just on iTunes?
I think the farm team was Google Play, but yeah, iTunes originally, and now, wait, one last update, and the whiparound at gmail.com just picked it up on waivers.
What the hell? The whiparound will just go anywhere for listens. This is ridiculous.
It is.
Oh, my whiparound jerseys.
Score!
We return. And we return to a world gripped by scandals and strangeness, and we,
Lately?
I'll tell you this, we've got a story once again that isn't in the mainstream, at the very least. Let us take you down an alley for more scandal and more strangeness, but this is the not-so-front-page headline stuff. Once again, we're going to drag something unusual kicking and screaming into the light of day. Or the light of...
the whiparound.
This basement. Yes.
Yeah, these Christmas lights, they're lovely.
We've got ourselves, boys, some cryptocurrency news.
Woo!
And here's the nitty gritty. Are either of you familiar with Ask FM?
Ask FM?
Ask FM. Ask FM. Ask FM.
It's like a radio station?
That is not it.
I have.
But a banner try?
Website of some sort?
I mean, yeah, that's correct.
I got nothing else. It must be some kind of news outlet, I'm guessing.
No, not a radio station.
Well, I don't know. Because that's kind of trolly. They're like, we're Ask FM. What do you mean radio? No. Here's how it bills itself, and I'm quoting.
Go.
The first incentivized, decentralized Q&A social network. It's a huge venture, this thing. It's, I think, maybe the fifth or sixth largest quote-unquote, social media outlet in the world, okay? It's a rather conspicuous series of owners and transfers and buyouts. It started in Latvia, then Ireland. Someone in Ireland bought it, and so, now there's shell companies somewhere else. This thing's been volleyed around.
So .fm isn't frequency modulation for radio.
There's no .. It's askfm.com.
Oh, I thought it was ask.fm for...
No. Although, but still, the sound of it seems very conspicuously radio. But essentially, it is and has always been a spot for people to create a profile. But rather than just like, hey, how's it going? Here's a cat. I'm an acquaintance of yours from high school. Here's how I'm insane about politics or social stuff now. Or, you know, here's a photograph of my kid. No. This is a place where people log in and anonymously, or at least under your handle, ask groups and others questions. It's just like, hey, what's up with this? Or
shouting out into the ether, hoping for answers.
Correct.
So Yahoo Answers.
Well, it's like,
yeah, really.
Match.com meets Wikipedia meets the Wild West. Because it's been embroiled in a number of scandals about content, and I'll talk about the bullying here in a second.
Let's see how that would happen.
It's got over 65 million registered users. It goes up all the time. And again, remember, this is sort of a global route. So I think a lot of people, less so, at least in northeastern United States, but it's much bigger globally than almost anybody but the biggest of the big dogs. Cyberbullying, like I said, has dogged it in the past. Some major media fallout came especially from the UK when not one, but I believe it's just two high-profile suicides of like teens, tweens who very clearly had been cyberbullied heavily on that site, I guess because of what they asked.
Oy.
And then suicide. Comedy show, Sean. Come on. But anyway, it's had its problems and it's been sort
understatement.
And they've said, okay, we're trying to fix this. We've hired we brought in consultants and whatever to try to make people not nightmares on two legs. And now there's more. The story is really only getting attention now. What we're going to be talking about here started in May.
Okay.
Right, so the whole thing kicked off in May. Ask FM, rolling in all their good publicity, mm-hmm. teamed up with some cryptocurrency enthusiasts. And we're all familiar with the basic idea of cryptocurrency, right? Of just what that means. I'm sure our listeners and the citizens know, right?
It's like Bitcoin, right?
Yeah. It was just like, we're going to do our own, which I don't know. A lot of people seem
apparently
to do
you
that.
Can.
So maybe we'll have whip around bucks.
Whip a bucks.
But they teamed up and they pulled this publicity stunt straight out of a Nicolas Cage movie. The basic idea, Ask FM and these upstarts would send a small team of climbers and guides to the summit of Mount Everest and hide two, quote, hardware wallets. I'm almost 40, so I don't know what that means. Hardware wallets, I'm finger quoting here, containing upwards of $50,000 total of this new online currency. Apparently the currency is called ASKT. It's like all caps A-S-K-T. So it's Brandon Gold, ASKT, is up there. For any brave soul, any skilled team or person who can make it all the way up to the summit, and then once you get there, go, I'm in the mood
to dig
for a treasure hunt. Right. The climb was not without its problems. And again, this was May that it all got rolling. And evidently, two of the climbers from this team of cryptocurrency people, they ran out of oxygen and had to be airlifted off of Mount Everest. So they made the deposit, and then on the way down, that apparently is also difficult, I guess, climbing down Mount Everest. I don't know. Maybe they thought you could just take a sled. I don't know.
I always picture that.
Right? But, yeah, they got airlifted up. They came back, and the news was sort of like, wow, that was a close one. What they did not disclose initially was that, and it didn't stay hidden for long, you can look this up, one of the Sherpas that was guiding them, and there were a number of them, one fewer came down. Then went up.
Yeah, that was a close one. Some of the white guys almost got hurt. Oh,
yeah,
no.
Woo! Yeah.
Thank goodness they avoided that.
But he was last seen at an elevation of about 7,900 meters, which what is that in miles or?
A lot.
I mean, it's big. It's higher than my house.
Yes. I can't do the conversion in my head.
And I think their quote was, well, we remember seeing him at 7,900 meters and he was dying.
Oh.
He kind of lofted it out there.
Wait, then why did they call the airlift for that guy? Also, why didn't they just airlift to the summit?
Hold on. So this all happened while they were trying to hide.
Well, they did, and
money.
Yes,
on a mountain.
It was on their way, having hidden the money. Pat yourself on the frigid back, and then get out of there. He. This dude is still missing. He's presumed.
But they hid the money, though, right?
Yes,
he did not die in vain.
That
mission accomplished.
His
right?
as his Sherpa parents would rush to tell you, I am sure he did not die. He died doing what he loved, helping white people hide
fake currency
on top of Mount Everest. So he's probably, you know, yet another emaciated figure forever marking human limitations in the thin, frigid environs of Everest, just as he would have wanted it.
Yeah, that's exactly what he wanted.
And the company behind this, well, both, I mean, the Ask FM and the people behind ASKT are very eager to sort of pass the buck on this, saying, oh, hey, don't blame us. I mean, these Sherpas, they knew what they were getting into.
Pass the ASKT.
We're a bunch of white people. Hey, you know the risks if you interact with white people, which is not the worst thing. Maybe they should have said exactly what I just said. The money remains up on Mount Everest, there for the near suicidal taking of any soul, any team brave enough to risk the lives of brave Sherpas to go and try it. First question, out of the gate, what do we think about this, gents? What are your reactions to this story? Ask FM, swing and a miss? I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know, man. I mean, we're sitting here talking about it. So, I mean, it must have had some, like, any publicity is good publicity kind of situation, maybe.
Okay. I mean, it's stunty.
It's obviously one of those things where, you know, you don't expect people to go and actually try to get it, or do you?
Yeah, I don't know. I hope we talk about that a little bit later. I'm going to try to see what we've got.
My first thought is, number one, I don't want to climb Everest and almost die. Number two, I don't want to climb Everest and almost die trying to get some fucking Monopoly money.
Isn't the interesting thing, too, that was like, they didn't die on the way up. So as you're thinking about, I'm going to go and get some of that money, be like, oh, wait, they died on the way down.
I packed enough oxygen to get to the top of Everest.
You know.
I forgot. I have to get down. And it's not Looney
Tunes. Is there any chance...
The Sherpa went back for the money?
Of foul play up on the mountain?
Like, my thought,
though, like, it was like, I'm going to go...
Or Spring Heel Jack showed up?
On the next trip.
Yeah, my thought...
We can't have that. Asked was like, no.
Yeah, what if it was? What is one of those things where you hear about how, like, what was it, like, when the labyrinth was built in the mythology that he then killed the builder of the blinded the, you know what I mean?
they push the Sherpas
off the mountain like, no one can know.
They bury the builders in the pyramids.
Exactly. Askit has been here.
I just keep hearing Askiss every time you say that. I don't know why.
Askiss FM, brought to you by Dead Sherpas. So, all right, let me move this to another level of questioning here. What would it take you to take that risk? How much would have to be up there before you gave in and attempted to scale Mount Everest? How much money, I'm sorry, how much hardware wallet would have to be up there? Which, by the way, I'm picturing like a Minecraft weird 8-bit what, but anyway, how much?
I pictured a hard drive being folded in half. That's what I pictured for a hardware wall. I don't know why.
What if it's broken? You get, oh man,
it's wet.
Hear me, I'm Night Shyamalan. Get on this. But how much would it take?
If we're gonna put a number on it, it's gonna be like LeBron sized money.
So 148 million
for the attempt. I figure with that much money, I could probably buy the equipment to do it safely.
Oh no, wait! You're just investing, assuming you're gonna find it now.
Yeah.
So you would. I'm serious, Phil.
Yeah, but I figure if I don't find it, at least I got 148 million. I lost out on 50,000 askets.
Huh?
What are you talking about? No. How much money would have to be up there, not how much money would you have to just find in your pocket? You're kind of doing this backwards. Like, you know what? I found a pot of gold. It's time to look for the end of the fucking rainbow. That's not what I'm after. How much money would have to be on the summit?
I did it backwards. I'm sorry.
Phil's like, if I'm so filthy rich, I'll do what the fuck I want. You know what? I've got 448 million. I'm not going up at all now.
I'll tell you what. I read into thin air. There is no amount of money that would get me to go up to Everest.
Okay.
But with the total that's up there now of $50,000 of fake money, you need to be going up there for other reasons than that, because $50,000 does not cover expedition.
Yeah. You were in the neighborhood, you mean, Dave? Like, oh, I was up here anyway.
I was going to get milk, and
he's right, though. I get your point too.
It's almost like do it anyway.
Some daredevil type would also get $50,000.
I mean, it's going to cost you like $55,000 on the cheap to go up there anyway.
Well, what somebody was talking about though was, hey, you know, you never know with some of these cryptocurrencies, the price levels go up and down. No, it's highly unlikely it would just magically one askit equals $2 million or something. But so Dave is a no go. I'm not going up there.
You give me a
Phil
lot of money first.
Needs to
I'll
be independently wealthy, and then he doesn't care.
Huh?
But Phil, no amount of money in your current situation would make you sort of gather a
team with the promise of going up and finding it.
Some expendable Sherpas, you sick bastard, and go up.
It would have to take a whole lot of money. I mean, we're talking, again, millions, just because I'd
need
to...
Come on, give me a price point.
I don't know, a couple... Again, LeBron money.
Two monies?
LeBron's monies.
Two LeBrons. How about that? One LeBron or two LeBrons?
One LeBron's worth of money.
One LeBron's worth.
Before I go up.
Okay.
Another LeBron, if I find it.
Yeah.
I think I would say 1.5 LeBrons before I'd be like, how am I going to get other people to do this for me?
That's the thought, is I got to be able to have enough money saying, look, here's the promise. Let's all get together, do it. We'll split it on the way down. And then, of course.
Right.
It would have to be LeBrons with, like, full heads of hair, though. None of this receding hairline LeBron.
You know what? I think he's more – I think he's better character
now.
Say, I think he's a more
fine,
stand-up guy
nothing
now.
Nothing wrong with
and
men without hair.
LeBron. I don't like this big beard.
What the fuck is your problem, Dave?
Wow.
I got a lot of problems.
I know.
Phil.
Oh, no.
As publicity stunts worst you've ever heard – amongst the worst you've ever heard.
I mean, it's horrible because someone died already. That's worse than the
one. I like
ones
that it was a half-assed cover-up, too. Like, what? Well, I mean, he's dying.
Yeah. Well, they didn't even try hard.
I didn't see him die. I watch a lot of soaps. He could be okay.
Well, I mean, because I thought when this was brought to attention early in the week and we were like, well, maybe which one of these articles should we talk about? Immediately, I kicked over to two baseball-related half-assed bad planning promotions. One being Tencent.
Are the Sherpas at the end of this okay?
Yeah, nobody died on these.
All the Sherpas are surviving.
Several people got hurt.
Okay.
One was Tencent Beer Night.
Why, that sounds fairly, no? I mean, that sounds like dumb, but was that a big thing? Was there a date line on this?
Yeah, it turned into a full-on riot.
Where and when?
Cleveland, June 4th, 1974. The Cleveland Indians were not that good, and neither were the Texas Rangers, so you got a bunch of pissed-off fans going, and it's 10-cent beer. But they thought they had – I remember reading about this. They thought they had it figured out. They would just give six at a time to any fan.
Here's your six-pack.
Yeah, and then the beer was running out.
I'm guessing plastic cups, not cans or bottles.
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't remember
that. Somebody would be dead if it was cans or bottles.
Yeah, it was bad. It was so it went about as poorly planned as you could imagine, especially when.
Well, lay it on me, stud. What happened?
Several flying chairs. In the end, Texas manager Billy Martin has to grab a bat and lead his team on the field to rescue the right fielder.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wait, yes.
So charging the field.
Charging the field, bats in hand to get a guy off the field.
See, that sounds... See, I'd watch that sport. I would watch that sport.
Oh, it was pretty bad. But then
Fanball.
Fanball. But then the other one was Disco Demolition Night.
I'm sold. I'm sold.
July 12th, 1979.
Not also Cleveland.
No.
Okay.
Chicago White Sox.
Chicago.
Another perennially bad team.
Okay.
Apparently the plan was at the end of the 70s, retire to disco. They're playing a doubleheader. Bring a disco record, get in for a dollar, and we're going to put them in a pile in center field and blow them up between games.
Blow up the
records,
albums.
The disco records that people bring in.
We're going to detonate them.
Yeah, they actually did and made a big fucking crater in center field.
We're going to explode.
They did.
Does anybody know what kind of ordnance they used?
No, I couldn't tell you that.
Or
offhand.
Too much? Was it? I mean, if it cratered.
It was a crater. It was a bad plan to begin with.
Where was it? In the outfield?
Yeah, like in center field, I think. And that was just a bad plan to begin with. The funny thing is, and I didn't realize this until I read a little bit more about it to research for tonight, was apparently this also came across in some circles as an anti-gay, anti-Latino message, because that was the music was popular.
Well, I would think
with those circles,
I mean, there were African Americans huge in disco as well. I would have thought the racial tension.
It came across as sort of an anti-gay thing. It made mainly, and somebody said, you know, well, look at you got a bunch of white people burning records that are associated. It's like this is a little
when you gather white
little
people,
goosh-steppy.
When you gather white people to burn or blow something up,
little goosh-steppy.
Tensions are already going to be a little high.
Yeah,
we might want to cancel our barbecue. By the way.
Phil, did you get any? Did you spend any time thinking about potentially putting Kite Man on this list from 1972?
No, I didn't. But we pivot to that, can I just say one funny thing about this?
Okay.
The umpires of those two games, the crew chief was the same at both of those fucking games. That poor
was he a Sherpa?
No.
Was he a Sherpa? This could be some kind of Pet Cemetery curse.
Gigantic
thing.
Backpack.
So who's who or what? Oh God, is Kite Man?
Well, Kite Man was a promotional thing that the Phillies did. They had a guy strap a kite on his back and like jump off a 150-foot ramp and like sail down to deliver the first pitch.
Kites
and
don't work that way.
The real Kite Man didn't want to do it because he was teaching the president of Mexico how to water ski.
Obviously.
So they got this backup
guy. This was glider boy.
So they got this
paper airplane girl
to do it. And they asked him if he wanted to do a test run. And he said, no, if I'm going to kill myself, I want someone other than you to watch me do it.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
And he runs down this ramp. He crashes terrifically. The president of the team thought he died. And then he tried to throw the ball in from 400 feet in the outfield.
My God.
I'll see if I can dig up the video.
How was his arm?
Let's try to post that. Yeah, anyway. Well.
Wow. Okay. So all baseball bad ideas in our case.
You know what?
Not a Sherpa.
These were all some.
Sherpa.
These were all some.
Yeah, Sherpas are not known for their abilities to fly. So
I would pay 10 askets to go back and see these things. 10 askets at least. So, Dave, let me keep the spotlight on you here. Let's go back to the top of Everest and the dead Sherpa. Should the companies suffer for this? Like, is this like, okay, there's been a line crossed here. Like, you guys have gone in a place that is just not okay.
I don't know. I mean, everyone involved in this seems like a consenting adult.
There's that, too, because I was going to ask you about the adventurers who would go up. They'd be adults, you know.
But I do think, you know, if you're one of these upstart companies, you do need to do something to catch attention. I don't want to say, like, anyone thought anyone was going to die doing this, but doing a treasure hunt, it's very Ready Player One right now. It's,
true.
You know, National Treasure, like, all that stuff's got kind of allure to it, and it is kind of cool knowing that, hey, there's buried treasure there, and you could find it if you have enough.
And what about what it is, Dave? Is like, let me just immediately push straight through that. Cryptocurrency, I know you had mentioned, like, yeah, that's already kind of weird. So if it's all right, they're chasing after this stuff. What's your take in general on what they're after? What kind
of? First off, when you say cryptocurrency, I always think, like, cryptozoology. And I just picture, like, Bigfoot walking around.
Thank you.
Of course.
Bigfoot bucks. Excuse me, what is that in Spring-Heeled Jack notes?
I like that one.
Look, is there any, like, real adult that's going to stake their livelihood on cryptocurrency?
Well, I mean, I don't know. All I know is, I don't know, well, we banked the episode. We're going to hear in a couple weeks about a guy who used some of his cryptocurrency millions to try to help a kid with, like, help with a medical condition. Like,
yeah, I mean,
I don't know. Is the, you're asking the wrong guy. You guys tell me. Is cryptocurrency, how real is it? I was kind of hoping you might have a window into that, since no one is less tech savvy than me. Is it a thing? I don't know.
I wouldn't work for it.
I mean, what's your sense of how legitimate this is? Even Phil, if you want to weigh in on this. Like, I know Bitcoin is enough of a thing that people talk about it without necessarily being like, making a jerk off sign with their
work
hand.
Said, you know, look, guys, starting next quarter,
paying you in Bitcoin.
You know, we're paying you in
Bitcoin,
you know,
bucks.
Cryptocurrency.
You'd be like,
know, enjoy that. My resume would be totally brushed up.
Right. I got to go brush off my crypto resume.
It's like any other lottery game show type thing where you're going to take a chance. This might be worth something. It really might be worth nothing. I think Dave's right. I think the only way you really go for it is if you were going to the top anyway and you're like, oh, well, let me see if I can find it while I'm there.
But I mean, just what it is as far as cryptocurrency, isn't it? How about this? Let me ask this. And this is a genuine question just that I always had buried inside me. And I don't mean to be mean to anybody who's into this.
No.
But is it not mainly the means of transaction between people who are either dark web or dark web adjacent?
Well, that's,
to where it's like, if you're 4chan, Reddit, those, the more you're into that, the more you're likely to know Bitcoin.
It did start there as a means of untraceable transaction to a point.
See.
But it became mainstream and it became accepted for other use. I mean, you can pay for certain things on certain normal legit websites in Bitcoin now, okay, if you have it. You can trade Bitcoin like a stock, like a bond, like a whatever.
Because I'm guessing most bitcoins would smell terrible.
Oh, gross.
Literally and figuratively, these things have seen some shit.
Probably, but it became legitimate and well-known back in 2013-ish. When it hit the big time, I think.
I don't know.
I mean, it, you're right. I think it started there, but it has since become a legitimate tradable commodity.
But, I mean, couldn't we then at the whip round, if we so desired, if Phil
got
your pot of gold, we could be like, these are schmollers. They're like dollars, but bullshit.
Well, don't we have our currency now? Like, Spring-Heeled Jack will be on the biggest bill.
Jack notes.
Right, Jack notes. That'll be the 100, and then Bigfoot will be on the 20.
Right, of course.
And then, like, we'll be on the 5, 10, 2, and 1. The four of us.
All of us.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
But I just boys a coin, though.
Of course. All coin. It's all coin-based.
Whip coin, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, we can. It's just, like any other currency, it's set because the value is set because we, you know, the populace agrees what the value is.
Yeah, but somebody's got to want it.
That's the thing. Nobody wants the whip bucks yet. Yet.
Oh, yes, they do. Yet. They just don't know it yet. I have to say this, and this is the last point I wanted to make about this bizarro story, besides, of course, asking any citizens out there who want to weigh in. I actually love the idea. I don't give a flying whip buck to do it myself ever, but I think it's amazing and life doesn't have enough adventure or adventure stories. So, like, while again, I'd never do it myself, I fully support throwing treasure out there and telling people to go find it, and if you die seeking it, that's just, you know, them's the breaks. Find it at your own risk, you know? And I don't think companies should be held responsible if they're like, hey, this is going to be dangerous, but there's treasure out there, you know, at the bottom of Loch Lake or any other strange, scary place. Right. So what are you guys, thinking similar to that? Is it something where there should be more responsibility? Are you on my team where, hey, go and do it, survival of the fittest, you know? Do you have legal concerns, ethical concerns? Because me, hey, man, even if Nike came out and was like, we have hidden $10 million in the caldera of a volcano, go for it and try, I would be like, I think this is amazing. I love that. What do you think? Same opinion?
I have my reservations about certain things like that, depending on the way it's done.
Where you draw the line, why you're, walk me through that.
I don't know where I draw the line exactly, but my reservations are, I mean, look at the Sherpa. It's never the people who are doing it that end up getting hurt when you do a stunt like this. And also, if you do something that is...
Now, it wasn't forced.
No, I know.
Not that I'm happy.
I know, but I'm saying, you know, the people that get hurt are never the people, you know, you never intend on it, of course. I'm sure even Askafim was not thinking, this guy's going to die, but it sucks. But the other thing is, like, when you do things that are monetarily based, the people who are going to risk it are the people who really don't have too much left to lose.
See, maybe
and
the
they
culture
can get
could
in
change.
Trouble that way.
But not in this case. You have to be wealthy to climb Everest. There's no way to
that's
not
true.
Do
like
it.
I said, I was thinking you were talking in general.
Right, I am. I'm taking it in a more general route. What if they said, we've hidden this in a crack house, you know, in Compton or wherever else. You know, if you can find it, good on you.
Yeah, like if you drop a treasure chest in the bottom of the ocean,
right?
You know, you and I can't go, well, let's hold our breath and go get it. Like, we just don't have the means.
But, like I said, they could say, we found the scariest fucking house that we could in Chicago, and we hid $1 million in there. Find it if you like. Now, again, if they're violating private property.
Well,
aside
from that, I just feel like it's dangerous for the groups of people that probably shouldn't be risking it. But that's me.
Dave?
No, man, let it rip, dude. I don't know what to say other than, you know, adults can make their own choices. Maybe it's the Republican in me, but...
Well, I'm not that's where our politics overlap. So you're saying, if it's out there, buyer beware, adventurer beware, caveat adventure.
It's dangerous to go alone. Take this.
There you go. There could be a thriving business and people camping near where it might be and saying, hey.
Living under bushes and...
swords.
That's right. Well,
living under bushes and selling potions.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you. There you go. Look.
We're starting the adventurer economy.
We went to this dried out field and under inside one
all
of these trees.
All I got was this lousy t-shirt.
Is gold. Burned down the trees to find the treasure.
A lot of chickens are going to get
Here's
hit
your
with swords.
Blue and red candles. Any final thoughts on this before we transition out and just leave it open for our listeners to let us know if they would do it, if they would be interested, if they've ever gone on an adventure where they risk something for some treasure or some loot or a red outfit, white outfit, whatever they found, magic boomerangs.
I think I'm going to log in to Ask FM and just ask them why our podcast is so awesome.
That's going to go well.
Well, you know what? If there's ever been a question that would not get cyberbullied, it's that one.
I'll leave the listeners with this one. One of my best students ever came to my office the one day and asked if I had heard about the treasure of Forest Fenn.
This is not a dirty joke, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay. I'll listen anyway.
My buddy Chris brought this to us, and there's like a book with a riddle in it and a map that this guy published, and he's like a hiker, explorer, kind of, you know, lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico, owns an art gallery. And apparently
you say that like that's just, yeah, everybody's like that.
But apparently he buried something like a $25,000 chest and 42 pounds of like golden stuff and artifacts out in the desert somewhere. And
seems legit.
He's encouraged everybody to sort of follow the map and try and find the treasure because he wants people to go out and hike in the wilderness just to see it.
I love that.
I feel like that's more of a, I don't know. It just seems a little bit more fair, a little bit more egalitarian.
Pokemon Gold.
I see what you.
Kaboom.
But yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
My buddy Chris brought
that's
it to
really
us
cool.
the one time, and we all looked at it, and a bunch of, you know, physicists and engineers are trying to figure out, like, oh, I wonder if we could do that from
What's
here.
What's this called again?
The Treasure of Forest Fenn.
Forest, just like it's spelled. Fenn. F-E-N-N. Just like it's, oh, okay.
Double yeah, N. And I'll, what do you call it? We'll put that, we always
please
do in the show links.
Has it ever been
I might,
found?
Tell you what, I might post that tonight. No, apparently not.
Maybe we could go on an adventure.
Forrest Fenn did say that people sent him pictures of their hikes just because they enjoyed it. And he said one of the pictures, they didn't find the treasure.
But and they were right there.
500 feet away,
but
he said.
But he didn't say which
He didn't say picture, which picture. He says he's seen a picture taken from 500 feet away.
That's our first step, Phil.
We have to find the pictures.
All right.
Maybe this could be a whip around field trip.
Yeah. Also, finder's fee if any of our citizens out there go Managed and find it. Like, yeah. You're welcome. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say it. Also, if you find the Everest techno wallet,
ask
the hell ever.
Coins? Yes.
Yeah. The ask or, hey, if you find the body of the Sherpa, I'll give you one shiny gold Ascot.
And we'll also give you a bottle of Purell.
You're going to need it if you're going to eat near
me. If you're going to touch that Sherpa.
Near me, buddy.
Don't touch that Sherpa without Purelling yourself.
And on that note, we'll be right back.
John, hand me the flashlight. Hand me the flashlight.
I'm going.
Hurry,
here,
okay,
here,
all right, there,
here.
All right, okay. How did we stop that big boulder from falling on us in the first room of this temple?
Ducked and shit our pants.
Right, we rated the whip around 5 stars on iTunes. Now, in the second room of the temple, the ceiling was coming down and had the spikes on us. How did we stop that thing?
Screamed like girls.
Right, we also left a review, very positive, sounded good, made everybody on the show happy.
Oh, that's right, you're right.
Yes, that's right. Okay, now wait a minute. Last part, we're crossing the bridge, is falling down, there are crocodiles beneath us. How do we get out of this one?
Please subscribe.
Holy Deus Ex Dave Machina. Indiana Phil, what do we do now?
We go home, Dr. Sean.
Oh, okay.
That was it.
Off we go.
Sexy.
There is no escape from the whip around.
Try it as you might.
And you probably have, but you always come back.
We're like a planet's gravity.
Yeah, or like a whole bunch of cryptocurrency you just can't say no to.
Or like a team that's better than the one you're on right now.
Yeah, that you're just like, fuck this. I'm going to play an easy mode. Whip around. So it is Act 3.
Something
and that,
like that is one of those.
That means it is now time for our strained metaphors and for 3 for the road, that segment of the show that you all know and love, where we get to talk about those things that didn't fit in with the theme of the show or that we just didn't have time to talk about during the show. Each of us will get 3 shots, 30 seconds apiece, to talk to you about whatever it is that's burning a hole in our brain. And once that 30 seconds is up, you will hear... Good aim, Phil.
Tried good not aim. To miss it this time.
I don't think they'll hear that issue for a couple of weeks.
Oh, that's right.
Phil and Desi had a mini fight.
I don't know what happened.
But anyhow, what we're going to do here is we're going to go, I think it's Phil, Dave, me this time. Yeah. Forgive me, I'll tell you ahead of time at the very end. I'm going to take a little bit of extra time, but so it goes. Anybody have any questions? Probably not. We can't hear you. So, Phil, are you ready?
I am.
Phil, are you set?
Wait. Yes.
Phil, you go!
And beautiful pictures right now we can find online. Astronomers caught the first ever direct picture of a planet being born. It's a gas giant. It's coming out of an orange dwarf star.
Ew.
370 light years away from Earth, or 113 parsecs.
It's
a star with not a very interesting name, PDS-70, and the pictures are up online. You want to take a look at this. It's really neat. You could see the dust cloud around the star, and just this planet is just off to the side. It's beautiful.
That's the sound of a planet being born.
Mm-hmm.
There is a statue in Spain, in a church in Spain, of St. George charging a dragon that is from the 16th century. So stuff that old turns brown. Well, the priests of the church decided it needed to be restored.
Oh, no.
But instead of going to the actual council and all doing all the proper stuff and get a properly trained person to do it, he got someone from some sort of craft guild to come do it. And now this statue looks like a toy you would get out of a Walmart pack of children's plastic playthings. It looks ridiculous and absurd. And this is not the first time this happened in Spain.
Nope. All right, everybody, the Lehigh Valley mysterious booms solved, thanks to what is being called, quote, incredible cooperation among state police, the FBI, the ATFE, and Bucks and Montgomery County authorities. David Sermon Jr., 30-year-old small chemical plant owner and terrible amateur artist, has been captured and charged, check the pictures, I swear to God, and charged with multiple crimes like possessing weapons of mass destruction after mysterious blasts have terrified area residents for months. Expect more, because there's more to say. And the weird sides of this story from the whip around in days to come. You're gonna like this weirdness, I promise.
One of the most important things science teaches us is how to be wrong. We hypothesize based on the information that we have at the time, and then if presented with different evidence, more evidence, new evidence, there it is, we change our hypothesis to fit, because if we know we're wrong, we'd rather be right. We'd rather have the truth. A couple weeks ago, 2 months ago now, I thought, based on the evidence I had, that it was actually noise from earthquakes. Now, with new evidence, I'm not ashamed to say I was wrong. When you have the wrong answer and you meet new evidence, change your fucking minds, people.
That's noble. Good job, Phil. Seriously.
Thank you. Do what I can.
More sports.
Hey!
Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Laurent Duvernay-Tardif has graduated from medical school, and he becomes the first medical school graduate to be playing in the NFL actively. Wow. And he has petitioned the league to allow him to put MD after his name on the back of his jersey.
Hell yeah!
Allow that, definitely.
His request, of course, has been denied.
Oh, come the fuck on.
Well, now he should put He Hate Me after
no fun
after
league.
That.
Bullshit!
All right, guess what? I have sports news, too! Folks, we have missed a doozy. On June 16th, the Japanese Hilarious Anger Community hosted the 12th annual World Chabudai Gaishi Tournament, an actual tea table flipping tournament. The goal is to flip a small wooden table and send the fake food on top of it sailing as far as possible. Anyone can enter, children, the elderly, so long as you've got some rage, you can do it. This year's winner sent a fake fish flying over 8 meters, and the best part, a cute little Japanese lady cues your flip up by gently touching your shoulder and saying, "Stop it," and then you rage flip.
Oh, we are Whip Around Citizens, side note, we're going to get a collection together to send Dave to Japan for next year for this.
That's right.
I'll make you proud. I'll make you proud.
Oh, I know you will, you big anger muffin you. Okay, quick thing. This is coming out on July 4th. Fireworks, okay? If you have small children and pets in the house, we know that they can freak out. It's one thing, the town, you know when the town is doing it, right? You can prevent that, try and safeguard your pets and your kids. But if you have idiot neighbors, and I know Sean has some issues with the people around him, feel free to go over to the neighbors and ask them to cut it the fuck out. You're not supposed to be doing that anyway. I'm all about trying to be civil at first. If not, call the cops on them. These amateurs need to stop almost burning my house down every year, too.
Trying to be civil. Cut it the
Here's
fuck
a mini
out.
What made Dave angry this week?
All right.
Cyclists. People on bicycles. Pedestrians hate them. Drivers hate them. What the hell are you? If you're in the road, you're supposed to be obeying the rules of the road, which means you need to stop at stop signs. You need to signal turns. You can't just weave up on the sidewalk, because guess who's there? Pedestrians who are actually trying to walk, okay? So people with bikes, do what you're supposed to be doing on your bikes.
Which is stay home. All right.
We're all angry.
I'm going to take a little extra time here, everybody. I apologize in advance, but 2 days ago, I heard that a mentor of mine, a choral director and music teacher from high school, Mr. R.J. Marks, was in hospice care, dying of swift-moving cancer. Next day, news came that he was gone, and with him go the thoughts of many hundreds of students that this guy whipped into disciplined, respectful, focused people. He taught us about music and how to sing, but he also taught us that to be on time is to be late, and to be early is to be on time, and suffered no fools whatsoever. He's one of the few educators I knew who was truly sort of loved and feared. For his temper and high-maintenance standards, that fear bit, sure, but more for how his belief in your abilities was so strong that he refused to accept any quit in you. Mess around in the crowded horde of choral students, he'd see you, stop the swelling waves of Handel's Messiah in one angry swipe of the arms, call you out by name, stare you down, let you feel your own waste of your time and his, and then drag you into the waves of music when he started again, as you straightened out your act and joined the group of kids who had no business sounding as good as we did. But he pushed us. We won awards on trips all the time. The focused sort of higher echelon members of that group won even more awards. But all those awards, they weren't really ours. Not really. They were his. And so were we. Every kid he spurred on to be their best is a walking testament to that guy's work. And he's gone. But each of us, and you know who you are out there if you're one of those citizens, each of us is a walking trophy to just the relentless perfectionism, the belief and the dedication, the tirelessness of Mr. Randy Marks. And it's too early, but he did earn his rest. So, you know, fare ye well, Mr. R.J. Marks, and thank you for everything, even though you can't hear me. But I'm saying it anyway because humans are weird that way. So that's three for the road. That's how that goes. If on the automaton I could play taps, I would, but it would just sound sort of smeary and terrible. So that does it for us. Another week down. We moved swiftly for you. You'll be hearing us. I don't know. I think there's another episode before you'll be hearing some banked episodes while I'm in Germany and the rest of us go squirreling away to have some fun.
I got to go to D.C. for a conference.
See, all kinds of fun stuff is happening. Look how excited he is. But in the meantime, it's been a joy. We invite you to share your stories with us of adventures you have been on, hope to be on, your cryptocurrency thoughts. We will we'll be back soon. Yeah.
Best we ever did it, guys.
We love you. Good luck on Everest. Bye. Say goodbye, Phil.
Goodbye, Phil.
I get it. I get it.
I'm not putting my licked thumb on any kids.